I want to share some thoughts with you tonight. You know, back around the turn of the century, doesn't that sound weird to say that? That we all lived through the turn of the century. Anybody remember the days of Y2K? Did anybody freak out over why? You know, we were storing water, we were doing all kinds of crazy things, and we thought the world was going to end, you know, at the end of 1999. But anyway, around that time, God began to kind of wake me up and restore me to my true destiny, my true calling as an equipper. And one of the ways he did that was through someone that you probably have heard of. His name is Chuck Pierce, and he's a pretty well-known prophet. And around that time, the Lord connected me to him kind of as a long-distance mentor. And some of the things that he was doing and sharing, he had these awesome prayer focuses, like 40 days. Every day there would be a scripture passage to read through and pray through. And it literally yanked me out of religion into where I needed to be able to function where I am today. So I'm very much indebted to Chuck for doing that in my life. But one of the things that I learned from Chuck, which has really stuck with me, is an appreciation for our Jewish roots. Okay? You know, we don't, thank God, we don't have to follow all the minutia of those rules and regulations about you can't eat this, you can't wear that, you can't do X, Y, and Z. But to understand, you know, how the feasts still have prophetic relevance to us today and some of the other things, I just love that. So every time Rosh Hashanah comes around, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or, you know, what's the supper thing? It just went out of my head. Passover. You know, the Lord is his calendar is still functioning, in other words. There's nowhere in the scripture that says that the calendar that God initiated is no longer valid for us, okay? Again, we don't follow all the minutia of the regulations, but it's good to know that we can be in step with God. So, Eddie, hit that first button and tell me if you can figure out what this says. Anybody read Hebrew? Believe it or not.
Yeshua.
Huh?
Yeshua.
No, it's not Yeshua. Yeah, good try. Right, you have to read them from right to left, right? Believe it or not, this is in Hebrew how you spell out the year that we're in, which is 5777. So hit that button again, Eddie. That's the year that we're in terms of the Hebrew calendar. And what's so fascinating, what I learned from Chuck Pierce, is that, you know, the Hebrew language is very similar to the Egyptian hieroglyphics. Now, I don't know if you know about that, but hieroglyphics are, each letter is like a little picture, right? It tells a story. Every letter tells a story. And Hebrew is the same way. Every one of their letters is based on some object or some situation, something that they're using to form that particular letter. So every single one of these letters has a definition, and they use the letters because they have no numbers. So they have to use letters in order to describe numbers. So wherever a number is being referenced in Hebrew, you're going to see letters, okay? So what's so cool about this is that when you start to study what each letter represents and means, I don't know about you, but what I've had happen to me is the Lord begins to reveal something prophetically through that letter. Through the different words that are associated with that letter, all of a sudden I hear Holy Spirit start speaking to me things that He wants us to understand and to know for where we are right now. Okay? So when you look at the first three letters, again, from right to left, okay? Well, first of all, let me just make it clear. There's some folks out there who are talking about 5777, but they're not, they don't understand that this is how it actually looks in the Hebrew. What they've done is they've repeated the same letter three times. And so their interpretation, I think, is a little bit off. because they haven't got the whole word. They haven't got the whole number in place, right? So I'm studying this. I'm asking the Lord, okay, what is it that you want us to understand about this season that we're in? And the first thing he did was remind me how, you know, we're supposed to be people who know the times, right? There's an interesting little incident in Matthew 16 where the Pharisees and Sadducees come to Jesus to test him. And they say, hey, we want a sign. Give us a sign. You say you're from God. You say that you're the Messiah. We want a sign. And Jesus says, you ain't getting no sign. What are you talking about? So you want a sign? Jonah. But here's what he says to the Pharisees. He says, when it's evening, you say it'll be fair weather for the sky is red, and in the morning there'll be a storm today for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? Right? So what is Jesus saying? That we should know how to discern the signs of the times. We should know the times. And in the Greek, the word there for times is kairos, kairos, really. Kairos is a word that talks about, it's a definite, limited portion of time that's suitable for some specific purpose or purposes. And so what the scriptures are talking about, God setting aside specific times for him to accomplish things, right? Now, I never thought about much of that until, you know, I came into Chuck and his world. You know, I always figured, well, okay, yeah, there's different seasons for different things, but I never thought that there was much to it, because God is God. He's eternal, right? He never changes. So, you know, what's the big deal about it? Does God celebrate New Year's Eve? I don't think so. You know, it's a big deal for us to go from year to year, but for him, he's the same. So I didn't have as much appreciation for times and seasons as I should have. So another scripture that really talks about this is in Acts 17 when Paul is in Athens. And he's in Athens, right? And what's in Athens? These are people that don't know God. But they know lots of gods. They have all kinds of gods, right? And so he sees this shrine to an unknown god. And he says, oh, the light goes on. He says, I can work with this. And he starts to talk to them about this unknown god, the god that you don't know. Guess what? I know him. But in his, you know, sharing, when he's preaching to them, he says about God, he says that he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. So here again is a reference to God actually appointing time for stuff to happen. And that's an important thing for us to understand. So again, you know, looking at this 5777, the 5,000 and the 700, by the way, do you know when the year 5,000 hit? I calculated this out. I had to use a calculator. But I calculated it out. It hit in the depths of the Dark Ages. In the depths of the Dark Ages, the year 5,000 hit. And you know why it's important? Because it was a line of demarcation that changed history for the church from that point forward. If you go back and you read, and you I don't know if you're history, if you like history or not, but if you go back and read, you see that things were really horrible, but things also started to change, right? Do you know the church was almost dead, completely dead, except for a remnant of folks that carried the light, carried the fire, you know? I mean, it just was amazing. Anyway, I'm getting off track, as I tend to do. So here's, hit the next one, Eddie. I lost track on my slides here. So, okay. Here's what it means. Here's what 5700 means. Okay? That our Papa is establishing a visible demonstration of his kingdom that reveals and restores the covenant he made with Jesus and us, his children, recovers our true identity as sons and daughters of the King, and the authority he has given us over the enemy and his works. This is what God began to do and has continued to do, right? 5700, the year 5700 took place during World War II, right, back in the 40s. And so we see a season initiated where God begins to accelerate the manifestation of His kingdom. Okay? And there's three things here. Three things. We're talking about the covenant that He made with Jesus, because so much of the church up till then had lost the truth about the covenant that the Father made with Jesus. And we've talked about that here. We've talked about how the blood has taken care of sin, and how the grace of God is now our portion, and how we get to have an intimate relationship with the Father. There's still a lot of the church that doesn't know what that's like. Okay? But this is what God's doing in this big era of time that took place. Okay? All right, so what about the 70 part? That's the next one. Hit the next one, Eddie. Okay? We're currently in a season where more and more people see and experience the reality of God's presence, love, and power through us. This is the season that we're in right now. All right? We're in a time when the kingdom of God is manifesting with such power that it can't be refuted. People with life-threatening diseases are being set free. People who have been in bondage all their lives are being set free. All kinds of miracles are beginning to happen with greater and greater frequency through the body of Christ. This is the season that we're in. Anybody excited about that? Come on. What a time to be alive, right? And we get to be part of that. Now that season, that was 5770, 7 years ago. What was 7 years ago? What was the date 7 years ago? Come on, all you math whizzes. 2009, exactly. Right? 2009, we were coming out of one of the worst financial meltdowns that we've ever had. Okay? And the kingdom of God is now being manifested in ways that the world can't replicate, because we get to bring something that the world doesn't have. Okay? So now we're at this 1 year, 5777. You ready to find out what that's all about? I'm excited about this. Oh my gosh. Next slide, Eddie. Oh boy, that's small. I'm so sorry. Specifically, this year, we become more skilled in the following areas. Next one. There you go. Transforming the atmosphere and environment around us by our prophetic declarations. Let me tell you guys, we have barely scratched the surface when it comes to declarations. I have just felt so strongly about this for the past couple of years, and we need to really get more intentional. We really do. Because there are things that God wants us to agree together for, that by our agreement and declaration, stuff is going to happen. I mean, stuff is going to happen. So I'm asking you that are here on a regular basis, let's be asking the Lord, what are the declarations that you have entrusted to us to speak out? What are those declarations? All right? Next one, Ed. Okay. I love this one, man. Oh my gosh. We're going to get more skilled in judicially binding situations to the will of the king through decrees. Now, we've touched on this a little. You know, we've done the courtroom of heaven thing on several occasions. It's been powerful. But again, I don't know about you. I feel like I'm still an infant. I feel like I haven't even learned to crawl when it comes to this aspect of our authority in Christ. Being able to go to the courtroom with a case, with a situation, get a judgment based on the blood against the accusations of the enemy and then come back to earth with the decree of the king that changes everything. I'm like, God, help us. This is so cool. I want to do this. All right, next one. Silencing the lies and influence of the enemy in our lives and the lives of others. This is the renewal of the mind, and that never stops. But you know what? We're coming into a time where our discernment level and our wisdom level is increasing, so that when you're helping someone who's struggling, you're going to get that just perfect nugget from Holy Spirit that's going to unlock whatever's been holding them back. You know what I'm saying? It's like the lie that the enemy has been using to keep somebody in bondage spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever it is. I believe the Lord is about to give us that level of insight to say, oh, I see what the lie is. And to be able to speak that lie so that they can agree that, yeah, you know what? That's right. That's what I've been believing. So that they have the opportunity to what? Repent. To break off that lie and say, okay, I'm going to embrace the truth. And you know what? This is what we all have to do, right? This is what we're all called to as we get our minds renewed in Christ. You know? Let me ask you this. Are you at a point in your life where you're willing to receive the truth no matter what it is? To love the truth to such an extent that even if it hurts, you'll embrace it. That's what's necessary, and we all have the grace to do that. He doesn't make us, you know, feel like, oh, you know, you're going to fail at that. No! Anything he asks us to do, he's already provided the grace for. Just know that this is where we are right now. Is if I, you know what? Here's the deal. I'm only as effective in helping someone else as I am in my own life, in terms of my, you know, if I'm walking around with all kinds of lies in my life, you know, it's going to be tough for me to really help a lot of folks. So just be aware of that and willing, you know, to kiss the sword. You heard that story, right? This guy had a vision of Jesus standing in front of him with a beautiful two-edged sword. And he could see himself. Jesus was holding his sword like this, you know, the flat edge. And he could see himself in the reflection off of that sword. So Jesus says to him, oh, I want you to kiss the sword. And the guy says, oh, that's awesome. Yes, Lord, I want to show you that I love your word. That I, you know. So he leans in to kiss the sword. At the very last second, Jesus turns it on edge. Too late. He keeps going and the sword goes into him. And as he shared about it, he said, you know, I could feel the sword entering me, but it wasn't a pain like you'd expect physically, but I could feel the sharpness of that. And in that vision, the Lord was saying, son, you want to help people, you first have to let the word cut you before you speak it so that it does its job. Isn't that good? I tell you, when I heard that, I was like, that changed me. I was changed after I heard that particular vision. So that's who we are. Next one, Eddie. This is so cool that we're going to become more skilled in bringing in our assigned harvest successfully, which is the fruit of his blessings released through us to bless the world around us. Guys, we... There's things here that are just so beyond where we are that it just like is scary. But it's scary good. Because you know what the Lord's focus for us in this season really is? Hit that last slide, Eddie. The focus of our training is the Genesis mandate that God gave to Adam and Eve, which they were never able to fulfill because of the fall. They were never able to fulfill what God spoke to them. He blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule. And they didn't get a chance to do that. But guess what? Jesus is the last Adam. He's my elder brother. He's your elder brother. We've been restored to the Edenic, is that the right way to say it? The Edenic relationship. I try to sound so theological, you know. Just blow it. But we've been restored back to the relationship with God that they had before the fall. Do you realize that? There's no difference except for the fact that, well, you know, our bodies are still kind of... right? I've been feeling that a little more often than I'd like to lately. But we've been restored relationally back to the Father. As they did, right? What happened? He would come and walk with them in the cool of the day. Do you know what that's like? Because you can. We absolutely can know what that's like. So here's what I'm excited about. We've been given this awesome blueprint from the Father that absolutely can change the world around us. I don't know if any of you caught our Strategic Insights show last week. Gary had to do it by phone because he was on vacation. It was kind of weird, but it was good. And but we actually talked about this idea of the sons of God manifesting. Paul writes about it in Romans 8. That the sons of God being revealed are going to have an impact on creation itself. And you can either put that off to the millennium or some other future era, or you can say, Lord, I think I see something there. I think I see something. I see potential. I see that you've given us a level of authority that we could actually have some impact on this world and relieve the suffering of this world. How? Through declarations, through decrees, through us blessing the world. You know how you bless the world? By living out your destiny. By living out what you were created for. Because the Father put in you the seed of blessing to bless the world around you. We're made in His image. This is another thing that we haven't really understood well. Yes, we're made in His image. What does that mean? I wish I could, you know, go deeper, but I can't because I don't want to take up time. I want to worship tonight as well. I'm trying to whet your appetite. I'm trying to stir your spirit up a little bit and help you, you know, see something like, what? Yes, I want that. You know, David, do you know that David operated illegally when he was king? That David did something that should have gotten him killed. What did he do? He created a tabernacle that was absolutely not allowed. His tabernacle was not allowed under the old covenant. You weren't allowed to take the ark and put it where everybody could see it and walk up to it. But you know why he did that? Because he saw something. David was a man after God's own heart. This is what God said. You're a man after my own heart. David had such a passion for the Lord and worshiped the Lord with such fervor that the Lord actually allowed him to see into another dispensation, into another era. And David saw that and said, oh, I want that. I want that. I want to be able to be that close to you and not have to be afraid. I want to be able to see you. I want that. And so he did it. Now I have to ask you, was that just a one-time exception? Or do you think it's possible for those of us who are right now seated in Christ in heavenly places, who have been commanded in Scripture to set our minds on things above and seek the things that are above. Do you think that maybe what David showed us could happen again? If you believe in the prophetic, you've got to say yes, because the prophetic is what? God's saying, I want to do again what I did before. Right? Your testimony is a prophetic statement about what God wants to do again for somebody else. So David's testimony is a prophetic statement saying, God absolutely wants to invite us into a realm of revelation. I know this is going to sound crazy, guys, but you're used to that. Where, how about we see some things that the church always thought, well, that's just millennium stuff. That's what happens when Jesus comes back. What if it's not? What if the Lord would allow us to see some of that? You know, Bill Johnson, I think, was the first person I ever heard say this. He said, if you can see it, you can have it. God doesn't tease us. You know? He's absolutely not going to show us anything that we can't righteously and rightfully say, okay, Papa, I see that. I want it. I mean, some of the crazy things I've seen in heaven, I'm like, God, what are you showing me? What is that? I want it. I don't understand what it is, but I want it because it looks great. You know, he showed me ways that resources from heaven get poured out on the earth. I don't know how that works, but I want it because I want his kingdom to advance. So I'm excited about where we are, where God's taking us, where he's leading us. You know, we're by his grace, we're gonna unpack this as he leads us. But you know how we do, right? We don't just simply sit around and have nice, deep theological conversations. We're going to jump in with both feet and get messy and probably make some mistakes. But let's do it. Anybody ready? Yes. Come on!